German lawmakers overwhelmingly approved reforms to the Eurozone's bailout fund.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. It is a major step in the struggle to fix Europe's sprawling sovereign debt crisis. The German parliament this hour voted 523-85 to expand the size and the power of the Eurozone bailout fund. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from our European desk in London with the latest on the vote. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So this seems like a pretty convincing win for the German Chancellor Angela Merkel, no?
On the face of it, yes. But unfortunately, as with every other aspect of this crisis, it's not quite as simple as it seems. Wow. Merkel has this thumping majority because she has the support of the socialist opposition, which is very pro-Europe. It's not yet clear how many members of her own party and coalition partners voted against her. That analysis is underway. We should know fairly soon. It might show that Merkel has been seriously undermined and her coalition could conceivably fall apart.
Interesting. So where do we go from here, Stephen, with the bailout of countries such as Greece and Portugal and the others?
Well, there's no doubt that things are looking a bit more positive now. However, everyone acknowledges that even the expanded enhanced bailout fund approved today won't be big enough to help, for example, Italy fend off default. Italy is too big. And the idea of a much bigger fund, leveraging it up to something like five times its current size, to around $3 trillion, that's much more controversial in Germany. If Merkel's been seriously damaged politically, she'll struggle to get that through. It's safe to say the crisis is not over yet.
It certainly isn't. All right, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reporting live from London. Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Steve.
One interesting twist in the European debt crisis is the prospect of getting help, perhaps, from some of the world's emerging economies, the so-called BRICS countries, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. But that last nation, South Africa, is the weakest in the group, leading some to ask whether it should be on the hook to help wealthier countries. Lyle White is director of the Center for Dynamic Markets at the Gordon Institute of Business Science in Johannesburg, and he's with us now. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Is South Africa in a position financially to help Europe solve its debt crisis?
I don't think South Africa is in a position at this stage to help any European country solve their debt crisis. We've got a number of our own domestic problems, and the notion of assisting European countries solve their debt crisis, it's one way that the BRIC countries are using their leverage to help stimulate economic growth on a global level once again.
What have the BRICS countries been saying about this whole situation?
We've seen for perhaps the first time a collection of prominent emerging markets come up with a solution for the traditional mature or developed markets in solving their financial woes, which is really a major reversal of fortunes, if you like, from just 10 years ago.
I know South Africa's economy isn't as big as the other BRICS nations, but are South Africans worried about the European debt crisis sending them into recession?
South African business is very, very concerned because we do rely very much on markets in Europe and the United States, in those markets that might be suffering from some type of economic slowdown, and in the case of Europe, potential collapse. Our trade balance is very much skewed in the direction of Europe and to a lesser degree to the United States, whereas countries like China, India, and Brazil have diversified themselves a lot more than what South Africa has done over the last 5 to 6 years.
Dr. Lyle White over at the Center for Dynamic Markets. Dr. White, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Let's do the numbers. Well, with today's German vote, European markets are mostly higher at the moment, but London is a bit lower right now. Asian shares are mixed today. In about an hour and a half, we're going to get a revised look at second quarter U.S. growth, otherwise known as the GDP. Wall Street yesterday, the string of days in positive territory, well, came to an end. The Dow gave back 179 points to end the day at 11,010.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com. By Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. and by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
Well, here at home, American solar panel manufacturers are reportedly preparing a trade complaint against China. They say subsidies from the Chinese government violate global trade rules and make Chinese imports artificially cheap. The case could be one of the largest trade cases targeting China in years. From Shanghai, here's Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz.
For years, the rule of thumb for many U.S. companies has been design your product at home, make it in China. Ben Santeros is a spokesman for Solar World, the largest U.S. solar panel manufacturer based in Oregon.
We don't want to go to China. We live here. We believe that it's very important to have a source of renewable energy technology in the United States.
These days, remaining loyal to the U.S. can hurt. Yesterday, Solar World laid off 150 people. Santeros says Chinese solar companies have taken over the U.S. market. He says Chinese companies can sell panels below what it costs to make them. That's because the companies are propped up with a seemingly endless stream of Chinese government money, 20 times what the U.S. government gives American companies. And Santeros says it's not just about subsidies.
We have environmental and safety and labor and quality standards that we as a society in the United States think are right for our system. And yet we're allowing producers from countries that don't hold those standards to flood our markets with their products.
Just how bad is it? At this summer's North American Solar Panel Convention in San Francisco, Santeros says China had 45 exhibitors, the U.S., 4. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
A little later this morning, we're going to get an update on the number of people who filed for unemployment benefits last week. And apparently there are enough newly jobless folks to warrant a new market for greeting cards. One card in Hallmark's new line features a cute dog saying, "Don't think of it as losing your job. Think of it as a timeout between stupid bosses." The cards are reportedly flying off the shelves. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Technology, social media. It's more than just a screen name and a password, you know, and it all boils down to just one thing, me.
What's interesting is we are living in such an autobiographical age. I mean, every text and post and email and tweet, everything is you trying to express yourself in all these new mediums.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, an autoblogography on being connected. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.